Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Where are the reports?
I know.
Why are you late?
I don't know.
What is this podcast?
I don't know.
What even is it?
But I do know I have a very toxic boss.
Who?
It's you.
It's me. It's me, guys. It's you. I'm the boss. Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome to Tessa's podcast.
Welcome to my podcast. The energy now will get much more, just more cash and much more freeing, and we'll let that negative energy just dissipate out of the room. This podcast is about how to deal with your bad, bad boss.
Your bad, naughty boss.
Also, the podcast is called Nobody Panic. Welcome.
Yes, sorry, I'm Stevie.
I'm Tessa, the bad boss.
The bad boss. Yes, and then now we're going to talk about what adult thing you did this week before we get into the boss business.
Yes, my adult thing is I've been wearing my Invisalign teeth.
She's just taken her teeth out.
And Stevie said, shall I tell you not to take the teeth out? Or encourage you, and I thought, encouragement, please. Basically, I have these Invisalign braces. For so long now, I've been waiting to do, as my adult thing, to say to you, you'll say, what's your adult thing? And I'll say, I've finished my Invisalign. And you'll say, well done. And then, I've been dreaming of it for so long, and I still have not finished because I'm so bad at it.
Yes. Oh, by bad at it, you just mean you don't wear them as much
as you should.
Yeah. Because you do wear them a bit.
Yeah, but you're supposed to wear them 22 hours a day.
You absolutely don't do that.
No,
do
I know.
No, right, I understand.
I'm averaging about 1 hour.
1 day a year.
At this current rate, honestly, I'm about 1 day a year. And I started off with so strong, and now I've just petered out. As with many things, a lot of progress early on, and then the later stuff is harder.
Stamina becomes stamina.
When you're trying to fix when you're trying to make one tooth to turn it the other way around.
I mean, which tooth is turned the wrong way around?
This one, but he's not anymore.
Oh, that's a delightful tooth that she's pointing to.
Almost. But now once you're in the braces
you
business.
You want it perfect.
You're like, well, I've come this far. Let's seal the deal. Right? Like,
teeth.
I'm here for the... And then it turns out sealing the deal is really hard.
I understand. Sort of like, I guess if you're somebody who's like, I'm going to look real fit, and then you go to the gym for like 4 weeks and you're like, why don't I look fit? And then stop, because you're like, this is boring.
It's boring.
Bullshit.
It's absolutely boring, and it turns out it takes ages to look fit.
And then
anyway, so what I'm saying is I'm trying to you know,
fit teeth.
Yes, I'm committing to this final. I'm just like, come on, this is absurd. Now
of course
do this final hurdle, get your teeth back in.
Great.
So that's my adult thing.
That's a good adult thing.
And also now I've prepped you and the audience for the grand finale.
The big reveal.
When I want everyone to be following my teeth journey.
You'll be able to hear that she's got better teeth as well.
If you see me in the street, could you just tell me to put my teeth in, because I definitely won't have them in.
Just in your full completion of being the grandma of the group.
Yeah, just like message me throughout the day. Just remind me to put my teeth in. They're if you've ever seen Invisalign, they're literally invisible. And so if you do put them down, it's quite easy to lose them.
Yes.
Obviously, you're given a special little case to take out.
And you don't have that
case. I lost that on the way home from the dentist on being given it.
I've never seen that case. Why don't you buy another little fun case?
No.
No.
Just loose in the pocket. That's the...
Oh, God, that's so grim.
That's me, baby.
It's got hair stuck to it and stuff.
What's yours?
A hairy pocket, as we all have.
Yeah.
Mine is, so mine's like an adult thing. Basically, someone sent me something, a company sent me something, and I always think that's very adult because I never get sent anything.
No, it's very
anyone
exciting.
Listening, please send me some stuff. Look at those two girls, just like one's got her teeth in, the other's the other's supporting it. Why aren't they being sent more stuff? So I didn't buy this, but I got sent it. But I tried it, and I'd like to say that I will buy it again. So it's this company called Vibrant Vegan Co., which stands for company. And it's like one of those, you know, there's like subscription meals. And you're like, well, I can't afford that.
Mm.
I can't afford that.
Okay.
So what's good about this subscription thing is it's not like, you know, there's ones like HelloFresh. And it's like delivered to your door every fucking day. And you have to pay £400. This is, you can do like a monthly subscription. You just get like cool vegan ready meals every month.
Oh, that's
and it's
lovely.
And you can pick how much you get. You can pick what it is. And they've got like all the stuff that you'd imagine on delivery, but it's vegan. Also, you can try one of the boxes and you can just try it. So you can just have like a one-time go.
Oh, well, that's worth it, isn't it?
Which I think that's worth it. So I would say like...
Just have a one-time go.
If you're listening and you're like, I can't really do a subscription, have a one-time go. And then on the day when you get a pay rise or you get... Or you're like, it's time.
Especially if you're in that sweet Venn diagram between lazy, vegan...
And rich.
And rich. No, I was going to say lazy, vegan, and can't cook.
Can't cook. That's...
Or lacking, or not just can't cook, lacking in inspiration, which I think is 90% of cooking.
Can't cooking, yeah. Fear of the oven and lacking
inspiration.
Extreme
fear of the oven and total lack of inspiration.
I get so bored, and it came at a really nice point, because I'm so bored of all my food, and also couldn't really make stuff, because I'm banging on about it. I've got like, I'm kind of ill at the moment, so like, I can't chop
stuff.
Oh, the
shoulder,
Lord. I'm sorry.
What a journey.
But I can't shop stuff and I can't like make stuff. And there's only so much delivery you can have as a vegan. It's like another pizza with no cheese on it, please. Like, very boring. So they sent me a vegan mac and cheese and it was fucking delicious. It was so good. So if you're listening and it's your vibe, then go on vibrantvegan.co.uk and just have a look, because It's so good. And all the packaging is made fully sustainably. And you can just drop the packaging like a Collect Plus venue, I guess. Like one of those Collect Plus places. It was often like food and wine shops or Tesco's do as well. For free. And you just send it back for free. And they recycle it for other orders. Which is,
that's,
I think,
wonderful.
Gorge.
And what is the packaging made out of that you just told me?
Like basically like old jeans. Denim.
In my mind, I'm imagining... just
a pair of jeans,
a mac and cheese wrapped up
around
in a Levi's.
Yeah. It's not.
That's one of the main things. Not to keep dumping on HelloFresh. I think the main gripe with HelloFresh is they're like, no food waste, but it's because it's one clove of garlic wrapped in 18 yards of bubble wrap.
Yes.
And you're like, come on, guys.
There's a lot more waste going on there.
Well, so, best of luck with your new vegan life.
Thank you. I'll be getting monthly vegan meals. That's what I will be doing. And I'll be posting them to Instagram like a smug bastard. Now, onto the boss situation. So this was a suggestion that was sent in by... Maybe I shouldn't say her name. I've just realised. You know what? This is a suggestion that was sent in to us by someone I will not say her name in case her boss is listening.
That's very, very good and wise.
Very smart.
Well done. Witness protection and all.
So, and but also it was a while back that she sent in this request. So if you're listening, you know who you are. And I'm sorry, but I also have popped it in my starred items and it's coming out now. She says, please can you do an episode on how to handle a toxic boss? Lying awake with dread of returning to work tomorrow. My boss is a complete bitch, so any advice would be great. And she also explains, she's the kind of boss who is your best friend one day, and the next day she's breathing fire in your face over something ridiculous, changes her mind constantly, which makes it really impossible to follow instructions. Basically, she sounds like the equivalent of like a toxic friend or a toxic person, but just in the workplace. I think it's very common.
Yes.
It's very hard to be a good boss, I think.
Is there any... Thank you very much, Anonymous of Tunbridge Wells. Is there any
more... You're
not
from Tunbridge Wells, necessarily, just so in case you're like, oh, it's not me, it was you.
Oh, yeah. I just think that's where all the, like, disgruntled letters are from.
They are, yeah. And possibly she is. That'd be great.
Could be. Do let us know if you are. Is there any more specifics about the boss?
Yeah, changes her mind constantly, makes it impossible to follow instructions. She always has her favourites and other people she's mad at. This changes frequently, so you can never tell. She's very, very, very unpredictable. She's worked for tough bosses before, but never one so unpredictable. You never know where you stand with her. She'll have a go at you for not knowing or doing something that no one has ever told you about or shown you how to do. It's like she's too busy to train her staff, but then gets angry that you don't know stuff. That kind of boss. It sounds very, very... Mm. And I think there's so many ways you can be bad at being a leader.
Yes, I think it's a very tricky thing to do.
Yes, in defence of bosses, it is quite hard. But in defence of Anonymous from Tunbridge Wells / not Tunbridge Wells, it's so hard to...
be an employee.
Cope underneath those...
Someone who's dreadful.
Because I used to work at a job and the boss was really cool and really nice. But he never complimented you on what you'd done right. Because it was a startup and it was really tricky to... You know, he had a very difficult job and he was pulled in 17 different directions. And you know when you're like, I know you're a nice guy, but like you only talk to me when I've done something wrong.
Mm.
Or you only point out like a typo in my article. You never go, that was a great article.
Mm.
It takes like, the only time I ever got like a, that's, you're really great was when I'd sort of said when I had to leave. And he was like, you know, you're a really great employee. And it went through all this really lovely stuff. And it was like, right, would have really enjoyed knowing this for the last year where I felt
yes.
maybe that I'm not very good at my job.
Well, it's so hard to be somebody, to be a, you know, Yoda. Am I right? Yoda?
Yoda's a small, sort of shriveled Jedi from Star Wars. Is that what you're going for?
Mm.
He's a leader, in a way.
Yakult. That's what I was saying. No, it was Yoda. He's a mentor.
He's a mentor. Yeah, that is true.
It's very hard to be a pure Yoda through and through, and yeah. also run a FTSE 100 company and massive. Live your own life and
yes.
deal with your own worries and insecurities and, you know, somebody probably above you, or at least somebody that you in some way answer to, you know. So
Tessa knows this as well.
I've been running a FTSE 100 company for the last 7 years.
It's been a long time. And you're a very good boss.
Thank you.
May I say?
I just like to give back to the young women under my control.
Yes.
But no, it's much, much harder to be... underneath them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there are like general tips for general difficult bosses. Then there are also, I found this thing which is like different types. Yeah, different types of bad bosses.
I think it's important to begin with like how bad, or like let's define bad. Let's break the bad down, because I think it's so easy to be like, oh, my boss. But is that like, oh, they are really incompetent, or they make terrible jokes, or or the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yes.
If you've got, you know...
a fit boss that you want to bone.
No.
Oh,
if on the umbrella of bad bosses...
Understand.
Down here is like, makes weird jokes and keeps, you know, giving me too much work. And at the other end is like, touches me in the lift.
Like, I see.
And,
go
makes,
to HR.
Makes racist comments, has threatened me. Like,
right.
So just be clear. Like, I think it's just important to be like, if you have got one that's like tipping into that, we should just say right at the top. If someone's tipping into like, something like, oh gosh, like, you know that no job, literally no job in the world is worth sticking it out with somebody who's, you know, really, truly.
I absolutely agree. I think, so if, say, Anonymous from Tunbridge Wells loves every other aspect of her job and it's just the boss, then you're like, okay, the options are you either change your perspective on how your boss is being, as in you accept the behaviour and figure out how you can kind of facilitate it. So say if they're being very unpredictable or whatever, don't expect them to not be. Unpredictable, like expect them to always expect the worst basically, and be able to manage that and like break it down and see how you can manage those individual elements, or move to a different workplace that does the same sort of job, you know, because like you don't really have any other options. You can't fire the boss, obviously, but you also can't be unhappy. So yeah, you have to like see, really think about whether you're able to genuinely cope in the situation, or whether you can just visualize yourself just spending the whole time moaning. Like, because I don't mean moaning in a negative way, because you do need to moan, because it's like, also this particular boss in that email just sounds absolutely impossible. So unless you really love your job, I'd say get out with that particular boss. Unpredictable, being your friend one day, being horrible the next, like it's just not worth dealing with those people. Me and my sister had a situation recently where we were trying to get like a project off the ground. And there was this guy that we were dealing with, and I just don't like him. He's not good at his job. He's very erratic. He talks over you. He's quite patronising. And but he works for a good company. And in the end, we said no, because we both went for like a coffee. And I was just like, I don't want that person in my life every week. Like, or I don't want to email that person. I don't want... So you have to really like protect yourself, I think, and be like, right, how much is it worth? And if it makes you feel better, like just really imagine being in another place, not having to deal with them, but the same job. If that makes you feel calm and relaxed, then look into switching jobs. But there are individual specific types of bosses that I think we can deal with, because you have to learn how to deal with difficult people. That is just a part of life, isn't it?
So wise.
Or you shoot them. You can moan about it. And also you are fully within your rights to moan about it because it's a pain in the ass. But if there are things you can do to stop it, or there are things you can ask for, then you should always try and ask for those things before you like just give up and you're like, well, I guess I have to kill her, like, or him.
Yes. Yeah.
It you can get male bosses as well, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gosh, oh, well, apparently, gosh. Yeah. I wonder what they're like to work for.
Probably really great.
Yeah, probably quite amazing. Probably, yeah. He, according to the American, Bible. According to the Bible, more than 50% of people have would consider their boss to be a toxic person.
Oh, God.
And 75% of people consider their boss to be an extreme source of stress.
I cut in front of you and said Bible, so you didn't. You just said American.
No, you'll never know.
Oh, I want to know.
The American Psychology account. It's definitely the AP. It's the American.
Brilliant.
Gallup.
Gallup.
That the statistics the, people.
Yeah. Also, I think as well, it can be so. Again, I don't mean this about the person that emailed in, because that does sound like a just a difficult boss, but like sometimes easier to blame upwards sometimes as yes. well. So if you actually look at what you're doing too.
Yeah, and I think it's also very easy to get yourself into a very like the grass is greener situation.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, I'll go somewhere else and then finally I'll be reading Tina Fey's Bossy Pants at the moment, which is
I love that book.
A fantastic read. In fact, I stole it from your house.
Oh, did you?
That's where I got it from.
Yes, okay, great.
So as you know, yeah, sure. She says in there somewhere that when people are terrible, you have to decide whether you ask yourself, is this person standing between me and something I want? And if they're not, then you just have to sort of ignore them and like shrug your shoulders and be like, I haven't got the energy or time for your shit. So,
yeah.
But you aren't actually actively standing in my way. So just you do you over there. And if they are standing in your way, then you have to make the decision to be like, how am I going to deal with this? And I think that's the thing about having a bad boss is the like, is this a job that I like? Am I just here like making some money, or do I like passionately love this company or this business, or this is this do I want desperately to rise within this thing? Mm. And is this person literally stood in my way, or am I just cashing in the hours and like doing some time here?
Mm.
Because a lot of the bosses I have hated, and there are many,
that doesn't surprise me, but I don't know what I mean by that. Do you know what I mean?
Like, well, my main thing by a country mile is incompetence matched with jobs worthiness.
Oh, yeah.
So I worked in the reception of a hotel for 6 months, and me and my boss, I can't imagine that he could ever know I even made this podcast, but Stephen, you were a bad boss. Like, we just rubbed each other up so badly the wrong way, because I did not give a shit about the job, and also was just like giving things away left, right and center, because I just wanted people to have a nice time.
Yeah, of course.
Not like have a free room, but like any complaints I was like, of course. I was basically treating the place like a 6-star,
yeah,
you know, which I sort of think everywhere should be if you work, yes, in customer services. So if there was a complaint, I was like, of course, consider it done. Whereas he was such a job's worth, and also kept calling me quirky, which, you know, I was on the verge of shanking him in his sleep. And we worked through Christmas, and I remember he wouldn't let me and my friend take our break at the same time, so we'd have Christmas lunch together.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, he could have manned, like nice boss, a Yoda, would have been like, of course, go. Yes. Have your lunch, small children.
Well, it's insecure people.
It's, yeah.
Who feel that that's how they can assert their power, exactly, in weird ways.
Yeah. And also, I wore baubles for earrings. Fun. It was Christmas. He made me take them off.
Oh my God.
I was like, where do you think we are? Like, also, I can't imagine any job in the world, maybe a grand high judge on a murder trial.
Yeah.
Where everyone would be like, you know what?
Take the baubles off.
It's not for, yeah, it's not for now.
A man has died.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Funeral director. Judge. And judge. That's it. Everyone that's, else.
That is it, yeah.
Put your earrings on. I was running around the desk. I was like, I was a barrel of laughs. Anyway, exactly what you're saying. They're like, oh, he was really insecure. Because one of the very first things when you're taught to like understand your boss is like, what is it that motivates them? Like, yes. Why are they bad? And if it's just like, they're a bigot, you're like, not a lot you can do. But is it like, in this guy's case, like insecurities and knew he was sort of out of his depth in his job and could tell that I was just sort of naturally better.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. You'd
be able to do a better job of his job, actually.
Yeah. Not that I was any good at like the numbers, and my cash out was wrong by thousands of pounds every day. So like I was bad at it, but I was a naturally nicer person.
Yeah.
Also so obnoxious of me. I was like 18 years old. Maybe like, I could have done a better job better than he could. And so you exactly like insecurities, didn't, you know, fell out of his depth, wanted to assert his power, like didn't want us to be able to go to lunch, wanted to make sure that we knew that like he was
where he was in control.
He was in control. You had to ask him for everything. And so that was his, for example, in Tunbridge Wells's case, this sort of hot and cold thing is like nobody sets out every day to like be a dick on purpose. Like, where does this come from in her? Is she...
She might be having an absolutely... Well, she probably sounds like she's having a dreadful, like, private life.
Yeah.
Like, obviously it's spilling over into her work life because there's no other reason why you would be that erratic.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're getting pressure from outside.
Yeah, are you? Do you desperately want people to like you? So are you trying to, like, in her thing about, like, favouritism, is it actually this really transparent, like, she wants to be everyone's friend, but then she also wants to be in charge? Like, is she trying to, does she not have any friends in the real world?
In the world, yeah. I remember there was a boss that I had when I was a waitress. You know, he wasn't a bad at running the restaurant, like, the restaurant was fine, but he would assert power in an over-the-top way because he felt insecure. And so he would be really, really horrible to me in the sense of just, like, my uniform or something, like it would be boiling hot outside and I would roll up my sleeves and he would like be like, I'm sorry you can't, but other people had, and it was like, well, why can't I?
Yeah, exactly.
And then I remember talking to my parents about it and I was like, I genuinely can't deal with this guy, like I hate him, he makes me feel so... And they said, why don't you try killing him with kindness, mm-hmm. in a way, why don't you try to actually find some sort of common ground with him, just see what happens with that. So I did during a lunch break, which I would always go outside by myself and just sit and like I'd read a book or something. And now I see that looked quite snobby and quite like, I'm going to sit and read my book. I'm not going to hang out with all the other people. And I didn't realise that at the time. So I stopped doing that. And I actually like actively would like sit with them at lunch and just chat and like ask him about stuff. And you know, obviously like the first time he was like, obviously there was a bit of like, why are you asking me this? But then he like started to include me in the banter and then started, and it wasn't that I needed his approval, it just made my shifts nicer.
Yeah, it just took away his like
his edge of his edge,
because he's doesn't like you, and so the sleeves down is really neither here nor there. Yeah, but it's just a way for him to be like, just, you know, be like, just so you know, I'm the one in charge here.
Yeah,
put your things down. And I'm the boss.
Often when someone doesn't like you, or say someone's favoritisming, someone else over you or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I think it's so important to just try and figure out, rather than what can I do to make them better, be like, what can I do to give myself an easier time,
because it's so easy to get into like locked into a battle of wits or whatever and decide that like I've been sent home from so many catering jobs for back chat or just like
this is really interesting.
Well, I was
never happened to me once.
I was just like, well, I'm getting sent home because we were in the van.
So like, bad thing. It's
no one could take. No one could actually. I couldn't get home, so I just got sent to the kitchen. Or like, got sent to like do something in the back.
In a lone room.
I was constantly being sent to the back because. And then when I just always was like, I think the napkins should be like this, and they were like, well, I'm the boss, and rather than me being like, you're quite right, I'll know my place, I just would like go and change them. Understandably.
Difficulty with authority.
Extreme. Yeah. As we've identified, it's rather than being like, oh, that woman is a bitch, even though I do maintain she is.
Yeah, sure.
Amanda, you're a bitch. You're a terrible boss. I was also an extremely bad employee.
Right.
Like, I was also, my failings were like, you know, terrible respect for authority, didn't listen to people. Whereas, like, if I really wanted to excel and like wanted to make, rather than being like, oh, she's a bitch, how, like, she's never gonna like me, I could be like, okay, what are the things that she tells me off about? And like, therefore I would like show up on, if I really wanted to be good, I'd like show up on time, have all the right stuff, have my uniform correct.
Not change all her stuff.
Not change the stuff that she's, just do, politely do the thing that she's asked me to do. And then rather than just be like, okay, I've done the bare minimum, then go one step above and be like, okay, she always gets stressed out at this time because, you know,
I'll make her a cup of tea.
I'll make her a cup of tea.
Or I'll do that job that I've just seen, she hasn't asked me, but I will do it.
I can see an extra thing and I will try and make her life easier and preempt the stuff. And if like micromanaging, for example, is something that, you know, gets on your wick, then preempt them saying, have you done this, which makes you go like, you know I have, like, and explode.
Or worse, you know I haven't,
or like, you know I haven't,
have you not got this really, like, no I haven't, because I'm not on your fucking desk.
Are they?
And then Tess is sent home,
and then I'm sent home again. So you know, you could preempt that by A, identifying that you probably respond poorly to micromanagement because you know you've probably forgotten.
Right, yeah.
So A, fix that in yourself. And then secondly, when they come in the morning, be like, you know, or whatever, be like, these already say, like, the reviews are on your desk. You know,
they're done.
They're done. Here they are. And you'll be expecting these at 2 p.m. or whatever. So you're like, you're saying, so they can't be like, where are the things? You know, you're like, or you're like, this took me slightly longer because I was waiting for such and such, so it will be here at 4, or whatever. Yeah.
And that's, again, about changing yourself and your own. And obviously, part of it is about, well, what do I have to change if they're a bitch?
Yeah.
But that's the way of literally every single human relationship. Yeah. At some point, you have to go like, oh, hang on, I've not done that. Or like, I need to, there are things that I can do to make this thing better, because also the person who's just like, behavior is pissing you off, they don't necessarily know that their behavior is pissing you off.
Exactly.
Whereas you know, so you can alter what you're doing to try and make it easy for yourself. I think that's a really good point. But yeah, also like the number one tip all the time is like, just make sure that they're a bad boss rather than you're a bad employee. And I think we found out. Sometimes you can be, you know, you're the bad employee.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're not hitting the numbers or the equivalent. You're not hitting the deadlines, or you're not getting, your stuff has too many typos, or whatever. Like, you're not doing as good a job as you could be doing, and your boss is on your back about it. Then you can't really call them a bad boss, because you need to kind of up your game, or see why your game hasn't been upped. Like, interrogate that. Be like, is it because I don't care about the job anymore? For example, that's what happened to me. I was like, oh, I seem to be submitting shit because I want to leave, so I will leave. But if it is like unpredictable, toxic kind of personality of the boss that is just unmanageable, then you just figure out the best way to put out them fires, as they say in the office.
Or preemptively put some salt down if you think there's going to be some fires.
Does salt help fires?
I don't know. I don't know.
Throw some salt on that fire. That's what we're saying.
On the ground that looks like it might flame up at a later date when you're like, oh, I know they're gonna be cross about such and such a thing. Like, what can you do to preempt even that happening?
Yes. A couple of points that I saw, which is sometimes it can be annoying when a boss is micromanaging you. You can assume the worst from those check-ins. You can be defensive and presume that they're saying basically like, oh, you haven't done it, have you, when you have. When actually they are just checking. They have your best interests at heart. They want to make sure that you get it done. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I think as well, it's not always, micromanagement isn't always necessarily coming from a place of like, well, you haven't probably done this, have you? It can be coming from, they are disorganized and they need to know, they keep forgetting where everyone's at. That's sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, go on.
No.
Please.
No, please.
No, please.
It was about micromanagement.
No, yes, I would like to hear more.
Wait, I feel like you're going to tell me more about
it. I don't think I am, no.
Well, I was just going to say about that fantastic bit in The Devil Wears Prada, where she has to go and get in the new Harry Potter book that hasn't even come out yet.
Oh,
you know,
that
sort of like impossible task. And she does it. She's going to quit, but then she finds it, like the other, whatever.
Yeah.
She finds it. And she throws it down on Meryl Streep's desk in this like, ta-da! And you're like, oh my God, what victory, like she's done it. And it's all so exciting. And then Meryl Streep looks at it like disdainfully and is like, well, what's this? Like, they're twins. What are they going to do with one? Share it? And there's like this moment where you're like, oh my God.
She wanted two.
She didn't ask for two.
No, but she wanted
two. But she wanted two. And you're like, oh my God, no, poor Anne Hathaway. Like, she tried so hard. Why can't she just be nice? But then Anne Hathaway was like, of course not. I had it bound so it looked like a real book. And there's two copies. And the twins are on the train on the way to grandma's. And so it's like, and then she like walks out because she did that extra 18 steps
because she knew she was gonna have to,
because she knows there's never ever gonna be this moment of praise of like, oh well done, you did the thing. She's like, all she can do is like stop Meryl in her tracks and be like, but like she's already thought through all the, she's already thought everything a million steps ahead, which is such an unnecessary burden to put on yourself.
But at the same time, like, you can't, like with life, you can't wait for praise from others. You can't wait for praise from others. You have to like be satisfied in your own work.
Yes.
And I think a lot of us, I specifically, rely so much in a job situation of someone that I perceive to be in authority going, well done, Stevie, that was so great. And that echoes throughout everything that I do. And actually trying, as you get older, and it is pretty much an age thing. Like if you're listening and you're like early 20s, it's so, you have to be a specific personality type, I think, to completely understand that and be able to go like, actually, my boss is a dick. So you immediately a kind of deferential to somebody who appears like they earn more money and
say, oh, good work, Stevie, you did really great.
That was great. But you can't get that all the time because people as well have, you know, your boss is thinking about 12 billion different things, and unfortunately the added extra of praising you isn't going to be top of their list, which is just not helpful to you. So you have to like Anne Hathaway gets satisfaction from the fact that she's done, preempted the stuff, and Meryl Streep never actually says, well done, Jesus Christ, you preempted that well.
She
just walks off knowing that she has done herself.
That
takes a journey because she's not like that at the start.
Exactly right. She's desperately craving the praise, and then she realizes like the praise comes from within.
And always put the twins on the train to grandma's,
guys. That's, if we can take anything away from this, it's put the twins on the train to grandma's.
I also wanted to say something about how if your boss is genuinely, you're listening to this and you're like, great, all of this would apply except for my boss is a genuine asshole. And like, no matter how much I change my perspective or whatever, I can't leave the job and it's making my life hell. Then there are things like you can do to help yourself. Like, talk to the other employees that you work with so you're not alone. Go for drinks after work with people that you think might share a similar viewpoint as you. And I'm not saying start off like a massive bitching session. I just mean like, you know, be like, how do you feel about the leadership in this company? Perhaps. Or something maybe less formal sounding. And then immediately you can get feedback from other people, their experiences. Then you can like pull together a resource of like, okay, so between us, what are our experiences? How bad is this? What are the objectively bad shit that our boss is doing? And is there an HR department that we can speak to about? Or even better, are there positive things that we can bring to the boss themselves? So like, for example, our boss who was just never nice to us, but only picked out the bad things. We didn't obviously, we all chatted among ourselves, and we were also found out that we were on like a ridiculously low pay for what we should be doing, and the pay disparity between us and them was ridiculous. So we like, rather than just go in and be like, you're not nice to us, we're not paid enough, we were like, so we thought it'd be very helpful as a work environment for us to have 6 monthly appraisals rather than like yearly, because it's a startup and because it's so new and because, you know, half of the staff are like 20.
And it would boost morale.
It would boost morale so much. We need it a bit more because some of us are first-time jobbers and we don't understand quite a lot of the things that maybe you presume that we should understand. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, we've been looking across at friends working in similar industries and we feel that the pay that we're on, maybe we would like to discuss this in said appraisal. So like translating it into kind speak, you know?
Yes.
And like having a compliment, doing the compliment sandwich thing as well, of being like, we all wanted to, like, sort of thing.
Yes, very smart.
I think you have to, but then you can plot a plan together to kind of maximise what you're going to say in the nicest way possible. Because I think there's no point in just sitting and moaning with each other and bitching with each other and then not doing anything, because that will make you feel powerless and pointless. And, like, Sunday nights will just be horrible for the rest of your time.
It'll just feed the wagon.
It'll feed the wagon, and the wagon will have broken down.
Yeah, it'll just fury. You'll have to go for lots of after work drinks, be so furious about it, and it'll get out of control, and then you'll be so upset about it, you won't be able to like bring it up in a rational way. Yes. It's now become this like behemoth in the room. And I think, shout out to my friend Claire Reavy, who teaches primary school. When they give the kids instructions, they do 2 stars and a wish.
Aww.
Oh, God. So 2 things that you did really well today, and then a wish for the future.
I mean, that is just great.
Isn't it? So it's a way of being like, we're loving the workplace and this is really helpful and we certainly enjoyed, and maybe it's things that are on
that
topic.
Pizza we got on Friday.
Yeah, so that really helped staff morale, if like that's a thing that's an area. And then what we would love is this, you know, rather than being like, because no human being in the world is ever going to respond well to, you're a bitch and everyone in the office hates
really
you.
It's actually really toxic.
It's actually very
toxic. Unpredictable and the favouritism is killing us.
Because my options there are 1, intense tears or fury.
Yeah, there's
like,
not
there's
any
no middle ground where I go, oh, wow.
That has made me think in a different way. Yeah. Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you, Sandra, actually. Gosh, and you do look well today.
Especially if it's true, because when someone, that's when I get the most upset, is when someone says something to me that's critical, that is fully true.
Absolutely.
And then you immediately fly into a rage, because you're just like, fuck off! And then about an hour later, you're like, I'm sorry, that is correct.
Yeah, it is. So if somebody brought up a criticism of yours that you had never, ever considered, or you didn't have, you'd be like, oh, right. But if it was something that you secretly in your heart was your...
Which, you know, if you're a boss, like, if you're a boss and you're acting erratically or you're acting badly, like we said right at the start of the podcast, it's for a reason. And that reason will be insecurity about the fact that people don't like you or whatever. So then when someone comes up to you and is literally like, we don't like you.
Just so you know, your insecurities are extremely open and everyone can see them, and they're really affecting you and the
And
work
they're valid. Life. Like, you're right. You are shit.
The thing you're most afraid of is completely correct.
It's completely correct. Every day of your working life. So, yeah.
It's got to be wrapped up in this. And also, you can't just bring, like, you're bad and this is bad.
Yeah.
In fact, it's got to be like, I think it would be better if there was more praise, if there was less of this, if there was, you know, an active, you need to bring
it. Especially if there was a point in time when that did happen. So you could be like, do you remember that time when you said this to me, or we had this sort of really great few months, and then it kind of has, that slipped a little bit, because obviously we're all so interested in the numbers, for example.
For example.
Things have overshadowed kind of staff well-being in a way. So you can kind of point to something that they did well in the past and go like, that's obviously something that you do, but of course the stress has all got to us, but it'd be great if we could all try and do that again.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a possibility of that happening.
Well, just one more thing for
one more thing, please.
One more thing to Madame Tunbridge-Wells.
Oh my God, please.
Just about like her being the best friend one day and not the next day.
Yeah.
I think it's that thing that you obviously don't want to be her actual friend. And so part of you just needs to like emotionally slightly check out.
I mean, I think fully check out.
Or fully check out. Yeah, and so if she wants to be nice to you, then go ahead. And
just means that, oh, today she's in a good mood or whatever. And then the next day she's not in a good mood. It's got nothing to do with you.
It's nothing to do with you. And you've just got to be like, I'm sailing along here doing my thing.
You don't need her friendship.
You don't need her friendship. And the thing about her sometimes telling you to do stuff that you definitely don't know how to do or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that I've been in so many jobs where I had no clue what I was doing. I just never, ever stood up for myself. I was reminded of this video that came out a long time ago. It's actually about domestic violence. So completely on brand.
A lot of fun.
It's got Keira Knightley in it. Mm. And it was just like a short video for the internet. And this is very pre sort of Me Too or anything.
Mm.
And she goes home and the husband isn't there. And she's like looking for him in the kitchen. And then he comes in. He's obviously furious with her for some reason. You know, she's been, it's clear that like this is a difficult relationship.
Absolutely.
In which she comes in the house being like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. Anyway, and then while they're shouting in the kitchen, he throws a tea towel in her face. And she then like takes a moment and then looks in a different direction as though she's now like an actress and we're on set.
Mm.
And like breaks the fourth wall and is like, sorry, can we cut there? Like, I didn't agree to that. And then he hits her and then it becomes about like women trying to say stop and whatever. Like she's saying cut, but you know. But
an interesting mixture of disciplines.
So much going on in it. It's a very confusing video. But what really struck me... what I remember really thinking about when I watched the video was the moment where she says, sorry, I didn't agree to that about the tea towel. Sorry, can we cut there? I didn't agree to that. Like, it makes her look like a bitch. And your immediate reaction is like, oh, come on, Keira. Like, the scene looked good. Like, that's genuinely you feel. Like, you're like, whatever, it looked cool when he threw the tea towel. And that's like, if you had been the director, you'd be like, whatever. And he's like, I was caught up in the moment. Like, it felt the right thing to do. And that is so many women, so many actresses who came out and were like, this is how I was treated on set, were like told repeatedly by, you know, that was like, whatever, like, I just went with it. Like, it's been told me, like, I spat in her face. Like, all this, like, awful stuff that you can totally understand because it is your instinct when it did look cool to be like, yeah, like, don't make a scene. But, like, and I think in the last couple of years, we've really learned to be like, no, don't throw the tea towel, obviously. Yes. Like, don't, you've got to learn to have the confidence to, you know, be like, to immediately, just to be...
Establish boundaries. To go, that's not acceptable to me. I'm really sorry.
And to immediately be the sort of person who not, like, the next week comes in and is like, sorry, can we discuss the tea towel? But, like, and have how you've been thinking about the tea towel moment and finally built up the confidence to say something. You just need to be a person who, like, as soon as those sort of things happen, be like, sorry, absolutely not. Like,
I'm afraid that's not acceptable.
I understand that you're upset, but don't speak to me like that. Like,
I find it really difficult when you raise your voice in the office. I find, like, it's incredibly embarrassing. Can we go into another room?
Exactly. And you be the sort of person who can just say those things immediately.
Yeah, especially with the thing that, as I said in the email, about doing stuff that, being asked to do stuff that you don't know how to do, being able to have the confidence to go, no one's actually trained me how to do that.
Yes.
And I've never learned how to do that. So and maybe even framing it, if that makes you feel too, if you're a bit younger, and because again, I think it's an age thing, like, I would have no problem saying that now. Mm. But when I was younger, I would not be able to say
goodness.
That. Whereas you can say, oh, great, yeah, I'd love to do that. Is there a possibility that I could get trained up on how to do it? Because that is implying that you haven't.
Yeah, I haven't received the training on that.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I don't know how to do that. And that's in some way my fault. Like, you're in the, it's their job to train you to do a thing. So, like, be like, absolutely, I'd love to do that. I haven't received the training yet. So if there's space for me to learn, if someone can teach me that program or whatever.
Is there anyone in the office who does know, and then I'll learn off them or whatever. I think it is again it's all about that. It's all and not worrying about appearing bossy or appearing like a little madam or appearing like a bad employee because you've spoken out and you've said something. You don't appear like that anymore. I think more and more we are now, it's cool whenever like a woman says, like, I probably wouldn't have the same reaction to Keira Knightley doing that now as I would back then, because now I'd be like, cool, yeah, great.
Cool. And I remember so vividly at the time being like, shut up.
Yeah, shut up, Kira.
Also, I do find Kira quite hard work.
I think I watched a film the other day, complete tangent, but I watched a film the other day.
Colette?
She was in.
The war one.
No, it isn't a new one. It's a while back. It was like a movie about the end of the world. It's King Arthur. Steve Carell.
Oh, yes.
And it was fine. I find her quite difficult to watch on camera. For some reason, I found her very annoying. And then there was a blooper reel on the DVD extras, which I watched. And, of course. And when she was doing her lines, she was annoying. And then when there was the blooper thing, like, and she'd sort of giggle and, like, say something to Steve Carell, something, she was, like, really normal and fine. It was like, oh, I think that's why I find her annoying, because she looks like she's acting.
Yeah, I think the damage of... I'm just looking for one shot of me in a wedding dress where I don't look all blue and wibbly has done so much damage to that woman.
I look quite pretty, actually.
I
look quite pretty.
Oh, that's you've the done worst. So well.
It's so bad, isn't it? And I think
that's such a good impression.
Yeah, it's because it really stuck with me. I think I've nightmares.
Terrible taste in pie.
I think it has done a quite bad.
It's done such damage.
And I feel sorry because I actually do think she's quite cool. But like, I think on
as
screen,
a person, I think she's probably
great.
Wicked.
Gal. I'm sure she listens.
Yeah. And imagine if she doesn't. We're her favourite secret podcast. And we're just, Kira, you're so cool. We do think you've made some questionable acting choices on screen.
But hasn't everyone?
But haven't we all?
I definitely have.
We've all done it.
We've all done it. But yes, but the idea of I now challenge constantly. I'm rewatching Cheers at the moment.
Oh yes,
I fucking love it. And Shelley Long, I think that's her name, who's the actress who plays the main kind of girl, woman in it, who's just amazing in it. She's so funny. The general consensus is that like, oh yeah, she's quite a renowned, difficult actress.
Mm.
And I'm consistently being like, well, that just probably means that she didn't want to get a tit out.
Yeah.
Or she just said like, oh, actually, I'd quite like my hair like this. Or like, oh, I'd quite like to... Like, she was probably doing exactly what Ted Danson was doing,
yeah,
and less. But that earns you a title of being, like, a difficult
woman.
Yeah,
because you don't say a bossy man, a difficult man.
Yeah.
These aren't, like, words that are men's words. They are, like, they're women's words.
Yeah, and I saw a great International Women's Day post by my fave gal crush, who's this model called Charlie Howard, and she's like, a plus-size model, but she's smaller than both of us. Like, she's tiny, but in terms of modelling, like, she's doing a lot for... kind of pushing good body image. But she did this thing which was like, go into your life with the confidence of like a middle-aged man called Dave, who just doesn't take any shit, takes his top off when he's holidaying because it's my holidays, mate. Doesn't think about his body, doesn't think about how he'll act.
Mm.
If someone at work gives him shit, he'll give him shit back. And he doesn't worry about being fired because he's Dave, mate.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you want to be like. You want to be not like exactly like Dave, but you want to have the confidence of Dave.
An internal Dave.
Release your internal Dave.
Dave inside.
Yeah, hashtag Dave.
And...
that's a channel, but...
absolutely.
And I hope that helped, Anonymous from not Tunbridge Wells. If you're a boss listening, maybe it helped you too.
Yeah, be nicer and also think, hey, what are my greatest fears and how am I maybe projecting those onto the workplace?
Yeah, how can I be a more balanced well-being person? A more balanced well-being person, that's what you should be.
Yeah.
It's making sense, but...
stand up for yourself, say the things, give them 2 stars and a wish.
You're not a bossy woman. Chat to your work colleagues about it. Don't get too drunk. And accidentally tell all your boss the problems.
No, try and get them out immediately.
Get them out immediately.
The less things that sit in your stomach, the less, you know, the less Sunday night will be unbearable.
Yes, and if see how you can change how you're responding to your workplace and see how that makes a difference. Because I think that probably will make the biggest difference.
Yeah.
Tweet us at StevieM, the S is a 5, that's me.
I am Tessa Coates.
At Tessa Coates.
Yes.
At Nobody Panic Pod. Follow us. If you have any ideas for future episodes, nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com. Boom. And we'll see you next week, guys, for just some more absolute, just fucking great times.
Have a great, great time in the workplace.
Have a great time in the workplace. Bye!
Bye!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing.
Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.